All lines are now bridged.
Great, thank you and welcome everyone. And thank you for joining the kickoff of the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. We are excited to start the conversation. My name is Mike Berry with ONC, and I'm the designated federal officer of the HITACH and this task force. On behalf of ONC, I would like to thank each of you for volunteering your time. And I would especially like to thank Carolyn Peterson and Janet Hamilton for serving as the co-chairs for this task force. We are very pleased and fortunate to have them lead the charge. All of these task force meetings will be held publicly, and members of the public are welcome to share their comments and feedback through the chat feature or during the formal public comment portion of our meeting, which will be held about 11:55 a.m. Eastern Time, about 5 minutes before I close out the meeting. I will also be taking roll at the top of each call, so when I call your name, please indicate your presence. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Carolyn Peterson.
Good morning.
Janet Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Danielle Brooks.
Good morning.
Denise Chrysler.
Good morning. I'm here.
Jim Daniel.
Good morning.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Ngozi Aziki.
Present.
Claudia Grossman.
Present.
Steve Henricks.
Present.
Jim Gerges.
Present.
John Kansky.
Good morning.
Bryant Harris.
I'm here.
Stephen Lane. Ellen Lapras.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard.
I'm here.
Denise Love.
Present.
Arian Malik. Clem McDonald.
Here.
Aaron Neary.
Good morning.
Larry Mole. Abby Sears. And Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. If I missed anyone, I will keep my eyes on the those in the roster, and I'll take note of that. So thank everyone. I'd like to now turn it over to Mickey Tripathi, our national coordinator, for his opening remarks. Mickey?
Okay, great. Thanks, Mike. So I just want to welcome everyone here today. I really appreciate everyone's joining. I'm really, you know, delighted to help launch this Public Health Data Systems Task Force of the Health IT Advisory Committee. ONC and CDC are co-leading a working group to respond to an executive order that's called the Executive Order on Ensuring a Data-Driven Response to COVID-19 and Future High-Consequence Public Health Threats. And I co-chair that working group with Dr. Dan Jernigan from the CDC, and it's a joint ONC-CDC working group that's looking at public health data systems. What did we learn from the experience today, and what does that tell us about the future? Interoperability is specifically called out in the executive order, and so that's, as all of you know, that's a topic very near and dear to ONC, to the HITACH, and to all HITACH members. So it's, you know, a particularly important executive order from a health IT perspective as well as we think about it. When I think about, you know, this executive order and what it is we're trying to do here, we want to generally think about, you know, how do we move from the concept of public health data systems, which is, you know, which I know is actually the, you know, the term used in the executive order. But to me, it's about thinking about how do we move from the concept of public health data systems to a concept of a healthcare ecosystem that has public health as one component of it in the future, so that we have a healthcare ecosystem and a public health ecosystem is a part of that ecosystem. And I think that, you know, that's a big part of, you know, I think what we want to do is as we conceptualize what the public health data systems of the future ought to be, not siloed systems that have, you know, sort of static reporting, but that are more a part of a dynamic internet type of rich exchange that we've come to expect in all other walks of life and want to be able to have that as a part of our public health data systems as well. The pandemic, you know, certainly stress tested a system that I think we've all seen revealed the results of a complex decentralized system with often inconsistent jurisdictional policies, standards, and processes across federal, state, and local jurisdictions, and a system that I think we all have to acknowledge has been historically under-resourced. And the result, I think, as we've seen among a number of things, was that it wasn't as responsive as we needed to be in terms of data accuracy, timeliness, reliability, and relevance. Wasn't as connected with the clinical EHR systems that all of us have worked so hard to put into place over the last decade, and not as interactive across all levels of the system as we think about the interactive type of patterns of computerized exchange that we're used to in all other walks of life, and not having that in our public health data systems. So this is a time where it's just a great opportunity for us to think hard about what have we learned now that the system has been stress tested and we've been able to see, what are the real gaps there, and use the funding that is now being made available to get us past the current crisis and to prepare us for first preventing the next crisis, and to the extent that we're not able to fully prevent the next crisis, respond as best as we can to future crises in a way that allows us to leverage all the lessons learned here and all of the technology and all of the approaches that we've worked hard to put into place so that we're better positioned to be able to do that the next time around. I want to just thank Janet and Carolyn for agreeing to co-chair this task force, and I really want to thank all of you members of the task force for volunteering to be on this. You will be richly rewarded with a ton of work between now and July on top of your day-to-day job. So that's the first reward you're going to get for your volunteering for this. But you also will be rewarded, hopefully, with being able to provide just critical input to something that's really important for all of us, in the country, and to this, to this work group process that is relying on the HITECH and this Public Health Data System Task Force to provide critical input from the industry and outside expertise as we put together all of the various inputs and thinking about the full response to the executive order. So again, thank you so much to all of you who are participating in this, and I'm delighted to launch it. Let me just check and see if my colleague, Dr. Dan Jernigan, has been able to join for some remarks. I know he may have been caught up with something this morning, but let me just check and see if he's here. Dan, are you here? No, okay. Dr. Jernigan wasn't able to make it this morning, but why don't we turn it back now? I'll turn it over to the co-chairs, and thank you again.
Thanks, Mickey. We really appreciate your opening comments in helping us to set the stage for this very, very important work we have ahead of us. Last year in March of 2020, the full HITECH convened some presenters to help share with us some perspectives on the COVID emerging situation and give us an opportunity to discuss some considerations around health IT in terms of managing pandemics, and more broadly, how health IT can work better with the public health system to further care from the patient perspective, as well as to work more effectively and efficiently for clinicians and the broader healthcare system. So it's really exciting to see us be able to come back this year with a full task force with some very specific work to do and an opportunity to explore all these topics in much greater depth. We are going to start today with some introductions of the task force members. We'll just ask you briefly to state your name and position, and also if you have any other disclosures to make at that time with regard to your relationships, that's an opportunity to do so. I will start out. My name is Carolyn Peterson. This is my fourth year on the HITECH. In my day job, I am senior editor of MayoClinic.org, which is a health information website. However, I am on this committee as an individual representing patients and the patient perspective, in that I am a 35-year-plus survivor of a pediatric cancer with experience as a consumer representative on FDA advisory panels for medical devices, and also as a member of a PCORI advisory panel on healthcare delivery. I want to be clear that the views expressed are my personal views and do not reflect the policy or position of Mayo Clinic. In addition, I am a volunteer member of the HL7 International Board of Directors. And with that, I'll pass the mic to Janet. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. And I will just take the opportunity to welcome everyone. And I am very excited about working with this group and the charge, as well as being invited by ONC and the High Tech for to help co-chair. I am the executive director of CSTE, or the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, in my day job, and we represent those epidemiologists on the front lines of the COVID-19 response at the state, local, tribal, and territorial levels. So the discussions that we will have are on front and center minds of our members. And I will just say that while COVID-19 highlights some of the major gaps in our public health infrastructure and interoperability with healthcare, these are not new issues, and I think all of you on the work group know that, and we have been working in this space for a long time, and I am really excited that it feels like we are on the precipice of true change. So thank you for your time and your support and all of the work that you will put into this task force. And finally, I will end my remarks by saying prior to joining CSTE, I worked at the Florida Department of Health for many years, where I was an epidemiologist and led the disease surveillance activities, the data systems, as well as the policies behind them. And I have no disclosures.
Let's just go down the list in order. I think Danielle Brooks is next.
Hello, good morning. Thank you guys for the invitation. I'm super excited to be a part of this. My name is Danielle Brooks. I'm the Director of Health Equity for AmeriHealthcare TAS Family of Companies. In this role, I'm responsible for the development of not only our initiatives and programs internally, but also in the communities we serve for health equity, meaning I focus on closing gaps and improving quality of care and access for some of our most underserved populations. Within this role, I also work to improve our data systems and also lead our COVID outreach strategy, particularly for minority populations. Prior to this, I was a part of the PCORI Health Disparities Advisory Panel, as well as the Academy Health Co-Chair for Low-Value Care. And I also serve currently on the NCQA Health Equity Committee to help support creating advanced standards for NCQA. AmeriHealth Caritas is a Medicaid managed care organization, and so we represent around 10 states and territories, as well as long-term services and chronic care and disability issues. Prior to this, I've spent my time in the intersection of health IT and justice. I'm a lawyer by training, though I don't practice. I don't have any disclosures, but any of my views are my own and do not represent my company. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Denise?
Sure. Thanks, Denise Chrysler. Thank you for inviting me to serve. I really appreciate it. I am director of the Network for Public Health Law's Mid-States region, which is at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. The network was launched by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation 10 years ago to promote and support the use of law to solve public health problems. Of course, data is a key part of that, including in addressing social disparities. With regard to disclosures, I am a member of the National Committee on Vital and Health Statistics, not in the form of a disclosure, but I'm also on my local Board of Health.
Thank you. Jim?
I'm sorry, did you say Jim Churches?
Hi. I think it was Jim Daniel. Hi, this is Jim Daniel. I'm the public health lead on our state and local government health and human services team at Amazon Web Services, where I am working closely with our departments of public health at the state and local level. And prior to that, I was with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, working both for the Office of the Chief Technology Officer and the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT. I don't have any disclosures.
Thank you. Steve Eichner?
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Steve Eichner. I'm the Health IT Lead for the Texas Department of State Health Services. In my role at DSHS, I help advance technology across the department and collaborate with other organizations, including Texas Medicaid and the state's health information exchanges, to advance interoperability. I also serve as chair of the Public Health Task Force on promoting interoperability. I happen to have a rare disease, which gives me some additional insights on particular needs of special populations. I have no additional disclosures. Thank you.
Thanks. And Ngozi? If I said your name correctly.
No, you did. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Ngozi Azike. I am the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. I'm also a board-certified internist and pediatrician. Over. No disclosures, sorry.
Thank you. Steve Henrich?
Good morning, everyone. This is Steve Henrich, and I'm the chair of the Department of Pathology and Microbiology at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. I'm a pathologist and also have my interest in laboratory informatics. I was previously the director of the Nebraska Public Health Laboratory and also the chair of the Association of Public Health Laboratory Informatics Committee. I've been working in the area of informatics for a number of years, and although I have no specific allegiance today with either public health laboratory or the private sector, I share those perspectives. I'm also a member of the FDA Shield Initiative, and have no other conflicts of interest to disclose. Thank you.
Thanks. And Claudia?
Hi, good morning. My name is Claudia Grossman. I'm a senior program officer with the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. Thank you so much for the invitation. I am within the research infrastructure team at PCORI, and we oversee PCORNET, which is the National Patient-Centered Research Network, which leverages largely electronic health records data from across the country, primarily to do patient-centered outcomes research, but has also been quite active, particularly in the context of COVID, around other more public health-related activities. And no disclosures from me. Thanks so much.
Thanks. And Jim Gerges?
Yeah, Jim Gerges. I'm an internist and Chief Health Information Officer at Hospital Corporation HCA Healthcare. Been in that role for about 8 years. I was in charge of our public and state reporting during the COVID, prior to COVID, but also during COVID, which included interacting with about 21 different state public health agencies to try to be compliant. So we have our vantage point would be, you know, what the experience was across 21 different states with some of the variability and kind of what that burden turned out to be on the provider side. And as far as disclosures, I am a member of the Sequoia provider subgroup, but I don't think there's any other relevant disclosures for this group.
Thanks. John?
Morning, I'm John Kansky. I'm the president and CEO of the Indiana Health Information Exchange. Relevant boards that I serve on include the Sequoia Project, the Strategic Health Information Exchange Collaborative, or SHEIC, the Consortium for State and Regional Interoperability, CSRI, and the Regan Chief Institute. And to hopefully enhance my credibility on the task force, I'll mention that I'm the former CIO of the Marion County Health Department in Indiana, which includes Indianapolis. Thank you.
Thanks, John. And Bryant?
Good morning. I'm Dr. Bryant Thomas-Karras. I'm a physician, biomedical engineer, epidemiologist, and serving as the Chief Public Health Informatics Officer for Washington State Department of Health. I formerly was a faculty member. In fact, the the first hired public health informatics faculty member at the University of Washington before the Secretary of Health asked me to serve as the informatics officer for our state, but I maintain an affiliate faculty position there. I also have roles in subcommittees and working groups at CSTE in Surveillance and Informatics, ASTO in the Informatics Directors Peer Network, Amy on the Public Health Informatics Work Group, and have in the past served on the Oversight Committee for our State Health Information Exchange. I'm also an active work group member at HL7 in the Public Health Work Group. Thank you.
Thank you. And Stephen Lane?
Good morning. I'm Stephen Lane. I'm a practicing primary care physician and clinical informaticist at Sutter Health in Northern California. I also serve on the HITAC. I co-chair currently the ONC's USPDI Task Force. Relevant, I am the chair of the Sequoia Project Board, the Care Quality Steering Committee. And in the context of the pandemic, I've done a lot of work within our community, both regionally and nationally, on the exchange of relevant COVID test result data, working especially within California. I have been helping to support the rollout of the ECR functionality, utilizing the Digital Bridge background materials. I also worked on the care quality policy, supporting the exchange of clinical documents between public health entities and clinical provider organizations. I also have roles within HL7, AMIA, and Direct Trust.
Thanks. And Neil?
Good morning. This is Nellie Briss. I am a member of the interface team at EPIC and am currently leading our COVID interface response. We have historically been a member of the Public Health and Emergency Response Work Group at HL7, including co-chairing it for 2 years, and have worked with a number of organizations at EPIC, both implementing and supporting them in order to help them integrate with public health.
Welcome, Nellie. I apologize for misreading your name. The text is quite small on the slide. And Les Leonard, please.
Les, you're on mute, Les.
Hi, I'm Les Leonard. I'm a practicing physician and assistant provost for data science and informatics at the Medical University of South Carolina. I'm also the chief medical officer for Health Sciences South Carolina, a statewide learning health system and health information exchange organization. Other relevant facts, I've been on the HITAC for the last 4 years, and that when I back remotely, I was the director of the National Center for Public Health Informatics at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for when that organization existed. Currently, I'm involved in a number of public health related initiatives in the state. Have been working on our state exposure notification app, building that. I've also worked on disseminating laboratory results to physicians through our health information exchange and on trying to disseminate results from vaccine registries via the Flatfire protocol.
Thanks. And Denise?
Good morning. I'm Denise Love, and I'm here as a member of the National Committee on Vital and Health Statistics and co-chair of the National Standards Subcommittee, which I'm representing, and hoping to find opportunities to collaborate on issues that overlap with both the committee and this task force and activities going forward. My relevant experience are 3 decades of public health data systems development at the state national levels, providing direct support through the Utah Department of Health and then the National Association of Health Data Organizations to develop and implement statewide hospital reporting systems. And in the last decade, all payer claims Data Systems as co-chair and co-founder of the All Payer Claims Database Council, providing, you know, political, technical, and governance guidance to states developing these statewide reporting systems. I look forward to learning all the latest developments from you all and contributing where I can. Thank you.
Thanks. And Arian? I think you're on mute, Arian. Okay, let's go to Clem.
I'm Clem McDonald. I'm the Chief Health Data Standards Officer at NLM, and I've worked with many of you over the years. I was 35 years as a professor at Indiana University, where I was deeply invested in clinical data, and we connected tightly with public health. I worked closely with Diane Dwyer to build the Dwyer tables from many years ago, 15-some years ago, for public health. So I'm happy to be on this committee. I'm involved with HL7, with LOINC, with UCOM, with RxNorm, and a lot of other things. So I'm deep into standards and happy to be on the committee.
Thanks. And Aaron?
Good morning. I'm Aaron Meary. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the University of Texas at Austin for the Dell Medical School and UT Health Austin Clinical Enterprise. We have been on the front lines of the COVID-19 response, everything from setting up contact tracing in partnership with the World Health Organization and with Austin Public Health, setting up two CLIA-certified labs to process our own labs at a clip of about 10,000 we could process a day, as well as trying to help modernize and really deal with the data sharing and information sharing in the Austin, Texas region in partnerships with Ascension, HCA, and others. And getting these data standards together. And so as I'm happy to share and go into detail, as you can imagine, University of Texas is a very large organization. If you look at it at any given time between faculty, staff, and patients that we're seeing, it's about 100,000 people out of a city of 2.5 million people, give or take. So you can imagine the amount of moving parts. We're also one of two vaccine hubs for Central Texas. And so in close partnership with DSHS and others, we've been really working to make sure that that data is succinct and accurate to the immunization registry here in Texas. So lots of stories, lots of fun times, and happy to share and look forward to this work.
Thanks, Aaron. I think Larry and Abby have not been able to come online just yet, so let's go to Cheryl.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of this group. I'm Cheryl Turney, and I have a long history of working with healthcare payers, hospitals, and pharmaceutical companies. I'm a four-year member of HITECH, and I've served on several HITECH task forces. And in the last year, I was also the co-chair for the Intersection of Clinical Administrative Data Task Force. I'm a director at Anthem, which is a healthcare payer, and for Anthem, I'm the enterprise product owner for interoperability, and I lead the mandates and enterprise data use policies. I serve outside of Anthem on several all-payer claims data advisory and data use committees for various states, and I also serve on the operations committee for CONI, which is a newly formed HIA in Connecticut. I'm also working with enterprise programs to gain access to immunization data from immunization registries across the country. And I'm also working with several trade groups, including HL7, DaVinci, Karen, and others, to advance interoperability standards and implementation guides.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl. It looks like we have gone through everyone who is online at this moment, and I understand that Dan Jernigan has been able to dial in, so I will hand the mic back to Mickey for an introduction.
Okay, great. Thank you. So as I mentioned early on, the ONC and CDC are co-leading a work group, an interagency work group that's focused on responding to this executive order. And I have the really the deep privilege of co-chairing that with my colleague, Dr. Dan Jernigan from the CDC. Dan, you missed my riveting opening remarks. I apologize. I'll make sure to get those to you. But let me turn it over to you now for your opening thoughts. And thanks so much for joining.
Yeah. Mickey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I actually did get to hear your remarks. I just could not figure out how to get the microphone to work. And so appreciate that and definitely do echo Mickey's comments, Janet's, Carolyn's, and others about the historic capabilities that we have right now to do some important change. Just for folks that don't know me, I normally am the director of the influenza division at CDC. And then in January of last year was asked to be the COVID incident manager for a period of time and then moved up to D.C. for several months to work with the National Response Coordination Center. And so quite aware of all of the issues that we had in terms of how to get data in the right place at the right time and to help to make decisions with that data. In February, I was asked by Dr. Walensky to join with her to be a acting deputy director for public health science and surveillance. And in that role, I'm overseeing the data modernization initiative activities, the funding, the strategies, and the implementation of that. And so I really look forward to the discussions that are going to be happening through this group. It'll be very helpful for us to address the executive order, but the broader issues of trying to get us to a better place with data and with surveillance is clearly a focus as well. And so appreciate the efforts. Like Mickey said, it's just going to be a lot of work for folks, but I think it's going to be quite fruitful and look forward to the participation and the input and the change that you all can bring to the issue. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan. We are really, really looking forward to getting into the meat of the work and also to hopefully providing recommendations and perspective that helps your organization and others go forward so we can truly achieve the potential. With that, we will step into the meat of our work today. If you could bring up the next slide, please. And the next slide. Great, thank you. So we're going to start by taking a look at our charge. We are the Public Health Data Systems Task Force, and officially, this task force is here to inform HHS's response to President Biden's executive order on ensuring a data-driven response to COVID-19 and future high-consequence public health threats. Our task force has two things here in particular. First, to identify and prioritize policy and technical gaps associated with the effectiveness, interoperability, and connectivity of information systems relevant to public health. This would include a focus on surveillance systems, infrastructure improvements, health equity, clinical engagement, research and innovation, educating and empowering individuals. And second, we are to identify characteristics of an optimal future state for information systems relevant to public health and their use. Next slide, please. And now I will pass the mic to Janet to go through the executive order and the data definition.
Great, thank you, Carolyn. If we could bring up the next slide. So as way of background and framing, this is highlighting components of the executive order. And it is the executive order on ensuring a data-driven response to COVID-19 and future high-consequence public health threats, as Carolyn laid out for us. I want to highlight and focus in on Section 3 of that executive order, which is pertaining to public health data systems. So the Secretary of HHS, in consultation with the COVID-19 Response Coordinator and the heads of relevant agencies, shall promptly address, and those three things are listed on the slide here. The first being to review the effectiveness, interoperability, and connectivity of public health data systems supporting the detection of and the response to high consequence public health threats, such as the COVID-19 pandemic. Second, to review the collection of morbidity and mortality data by state, local, tribal, and territorial governments during high-consequence public health threats, such as the COVID-19 pandemic. And third, to issue a report summarizing the findings of the reviews detailed in both of those subsections that I just talked about, A and B above on this slide, and to address any recommendations for addressing areas for improvement identified in these reviews. Next slide, please. In terms of framing also, we want to talk about the definition for what is a high consequence public health threat. And you'll see that here on the slide. So a high consequence public health threat is a public health threat that requires rapid, multi-sector, and cross-jurisdictional coordination and response. A high-consequence public health threat can lead to severe illness, death, and substantial economic as well as societal impact, including pandemics, natural disasters, extreme weather, chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear threats. Next slide, please. Also, in terms of definitions, we want to look at three key definitions: effectiveness, interoperability, and connectivity. So in this setting, we are thinking of connectivity as basic transport, the ability to send or receive electronic information, regardless of format, content, or coding. In terms of interoperability, this is related to the usability of data and patterns of exchange. So the ability to automate the use of data for public health purposes, as well as the ability to support both unidirectional and bidirectional data exchange as appropriate. And finally, of course, effectiveness. So the adoption of systems to meaningfully achieve public health goals. And I think this is really critical for us to think about, that it's not just moving data from place to place, that we need to be able to move the data and organize the data and think about it all in a way that's meaningful and supports achieving our public health goals. So within the effectiveness, then, it's integration into actionable workflows. So thinking about how the data moves from system to system, as well as how it impacts the people themselves, and measures of public health effectiveness, as well as measures of public health outcomes. Next slide, please. So also on key definitions, we want to think about, what do we mean when we talk about public health data systems? And so in this context, we're really thinking about information technology system or systems, so that interactive ecosystem, to collect, analyze, and disseminate health-related data to monitor, assess, and improve the health of populations. In this context, we want to think about this system and systems of systems as both those traditional systems, and we think of those traditional systems as our traditional core public health surveillance systems, and that foundational infrastructure, so the systems built on reportable conditions such as lab reporting and case reporting, our vital statistics systems, in particular the death registration systems, and other key registries, such as immunization registries or condition-specific like cancer registries. We also want to be thinking about this expanded view of public health data systems. And I think in particular, as we look at where we are now, this is more critical than ever. We're no longer in the era of expecting or having the public expect that data should arrive on, in the mail or on disease cards, but really to move into this space of utilization of data from electronic health records, thinking about clinical interoperability networks. I think highlighting back to Mickey's comments that it's not a siloed set of systems, but it's this dynamic exchange, and it's looking at public health as a component of the larger healthcare system. So those clinical interoperability networks claims, non-governmental registries, PHM systems, social determinants of health networks, patient-controlled apps, patient-controlled services, resources that are available in terms of things like personal protective equipment, ventilators, bed capacity, the number of laboratory tests that are maybe available, as well as where specifically those availabilities lie, ADT or admission discharge transfer feeds, data that we could be getting from wearables, as well as geolocation services. And I would say, you know, we've also done a number of other things during this pandemic, like the contact tracing apps that have emerged, and all of that really feeds in to this expanded view of the of our public health data systems. And we want to think about non-traditional systems and data sources, so things like wastewater or web search queries, social media posts, use of information that we might gather around transportation and where people are moving, where they're located, et cetera. All right, next slide, please. Okay, so I am going to turn it back over here to walk through our meeting schedule.
Thanks, Janet. This is Brett Andreessen from ONC. I, along with my colleague Brenda, will be the staff leads on the ONC side for this task force. So looking at the topics that we are looking to cover and our meeting schedule weekly between now and July, the team at ONC, in working really closely with our colleagues across HHS and CDC, took a look at the charge and then started to break out a number of key topics to discuss. And then from those, we pulled together what seemed like a logical schedule for discussion of these topics. These are subject to change as we begin our work and start to see how things fall in. But some of the things that we'll be taking a look at include public health surveillance, so things around data standards and infrastructure, collecting, sharing, using, linking, and integrating data, health equity and surveillance systems, the expanded view of public health data systems, interoperability around situational awareness during emergency responses, case reporting, testing, things like that. Around infrastructure improvements, topics include preparedness, equity, performance, scalability, longitudinal tracking, data quality, policy, and workforce gaps. Then we will get into research and innovation, creating conditions that encourage innovation, stakeholder outreach and engagement, spring investments, open data access, data format and quality. And then we will get into educating and empowering individuals, as well as providers and clinicians to ensure good feedback loops there. And then as we get into July, we will again, kind of take a look through recommendations that the group has developed. And moving on to the next slide, we will be presenting final recommendations back to HITECH by the July 14th meeting. Janet or Carolyn or Brenda, anything to add here?
I'm just wondering if we will be able to publish on the public website the list that goes into more detail that you just read. There's quite a lot there, and I'm guessing that at least some of us perhaps were not able to take that all down quickly.
Absolutely. We will get those out to the task force members very shortly, and then by the next meeting we can definitely include that on the group of materials that goes along with these meetings.
Great, thank you.
All right, then moving on to the next slide, I think we are going to just really quickly touch on the public health hearing that we have scheduled for the May 13th full HITECH meeting. Moving on to the next slide as well. We are working really quickly. Again, this is a collaborative HHS wide effort along with CDC and are working to put together some really strong panels throughout a full day high-tech meeting. The panels are looking like they will start around 10 a.m. Eastern and covering a number of topics fairly closely aligned with this task force's charge and some of those topic areas. So looking at big picture on public health performance, public health systems performance, and then getting down to operational levels as well, looking at what types of data needs might be available and infrastructure components. And we are looking to finalize that agenda as soon as possible here and make that public when we can. I hope everyone can join and listen into what should be a great session.
Thanks, Brett. Before we head into the discussion and next steps, I see that Clem has his hand up. Clem, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I maybe it's too early, but I was starting to type in. I think that one of the initial statements that we want to send electronically, regardless of coding or format, what I read that as being without respect to any coding or format, we might as well just stay with faxing if we stick with that. So I really think that's a wrong statement to get to the goal. It doesn't mean we can't send text reports or narrative reports, but we got to have some minimal kinds of codes or structure to be able to use it.
Thanks, Clem. If any other member of the task force has any questions or thoughts at this point, why don't we start into the discussion? The way to do that in Adobe is to use the hand raise function. You'll see that in the black ribbon along the top of your screen. It's the little pictogram of an individual with their hand up. What that does for Janet and I is to show us who has a question or comment and the order in which we receive those, so that we can move through them effectively and be sure we don't miss anyone. Just as a general note, we also have a chat that is open for task force members as well as members of the public. And we will have a public comment period at the end of this meeting when members of the public who are not participating in the task force discussion can make some comments. I don't see any hands raised at this point among the task force members, so if you do have a question or comment, let's bring that forward. Okay, I see Bryant has his hands up. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I just wanted to second Clem's comment and emphasize that I think part of the challenge that is resulted from the underfunding and or the underattention that public health systems have gotten over the decades is that we oftentimes have to revert to the in public health have to revert to the lowest common denominator and end up receiving legacy files in CSV format over secure file transport instead of implementing, modern standards and health IT best practices. So I think my hope is that our task force can help identify and make recommendations for how public health can be invested in to rapidly catch up with our clinical partners and become an active and engaged partner. I think that would be a fabulous goal.
Hey, thanks, Bryant. Let's go now to Jim Daniel.
Hi, thank you. I was just going to add to the agenda that it might be useful as we think about the different discussion topics every week, to also think about which systems we're going to talk about, because those broad topics I think are difficult to cover across all of the public health data systems that we're talking about. And it might be good to have some focused time on, for example, electronic lab reporting and immunization systems and disease surveillance the ones that were really key to COVID response and the challenges that we saw. So in addition to the broad topics, I think some focused time on those systems would be good. And the other thing that I would ask is, we did have a similar public health task force during Zika that made some very specific recommendations around electronic lab reporting, especially with ask on order entry questions and some other recommendations around complete data. It would be great to review those recommendations as well, because I think they're still very relevant. And we saw at the beginning and, you know, well, throughout COVID that, you know, that those same issues were coming up again. So it'd be great to review those recommendations from that public health task force focused on Zika.
Thanks. Definitely, we are taking that into account, and I will see, perhaps we'll circle back with you after the meeting offline to see about getting a copy of those recommendations. And thank you for that. Let's go to Arian Malik.
Hey, thank you. So maybe two comments. Number one is the time frame is incredibly aggressive, and it might be worthwhile to think about a stage one and stage two of recommendations. From past experience running task forces, 2 months to solicit feedback, collect input, and get to recommendations. Seems like 2 months is a long time, but it's actually quite short. So it might be worthwhile just from an agenda perspective to think about stage one and stage two. Secondly, in my experience in public health, it's an ecosystem and an incentive and a funding issue. So, you know, if we think about just the systems and we don't think about the funding mechanisms, the operating mechanisms, the incentive mechanisms, and think about the mechanisms that are incumbent on all the parties touching in the ecosystem, then we're going to miss some steps. So, you know, as a pretty trivial example of this, we discovered when we were looking at information flows for lab reporting to case reporting and contact tracing that we were losing demographic information from the ordering system to the lab, and the lab would then report it to public health without the demographic information. So we had a secondary cleanup. We need to be thinking about the ecosystem perspective and the incentives that are incumbent on each of the actors in the ecosystem to support, fund, and drive interoperability for the complete system. Thank you.
Thanks, Arian. I think Janet and I agree that we have a pretty aggressive schedule with our meetings and topic list, and certainly a lot to do. So we're glad we have another experienced task force member and co-leader in you to help us with that. Let's go to Cheryl Turney.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to offer that I do agree with a couple of the comments that have already been made, and that, you know, our observations that from a payer perspective have been that working with these immunization registries across the country, the data is inconsistent. They have lack of resources. The contractual arrangements with each is different. The tools that they utilize are different. And so trying to collect that data and also make that data meaningful is a significant amount of effort for anyone that has to deal with them across the country. And then in many states, the requirement to report the data is not always required. And so, you know, that's also an issue. And then having the data be usable in terms of what identifiers are there in order to match those to attribution lists to make it useful in the ecosystem are also inconsistent. So I do think that there needs to be a lot of foundational work to understand, you know, at the core, what needs to be there so it can be usable and shared across the spectrum, and then maybe utilizing some of the opportunities of the learnings where there does seem to be some systems that have implemented tools like Snowflake and others that seem to be more usable for consumption. You know, we need to be considering some of those things as well.
Thanks, Carol. Let's go to Erin Miri.
Good morning, and thank you. So a couple of things I'd like to state. I think, first off, I want to remind this task force, as we often remind on the high tack for others, to think about health equity by design. So as we look at these components of the public health infrastructure and ecosystem, and those are Mickey Tripathi's words, not mine, but the health equity by design is going to be very, very important for us in the future state of where we're going to. I think there's a number of things that we've uncovered in looking at the data, and particularly with us, we just crossed 120 more thousand vaccinations that we've given through our vaccine hub, and from a contact tracing perspective, it's several hundred thousand. And looking at that data, it is amazing the amount of demographic data and other data that's just missing in data elements. I think USCDI plays into this and will help us in the future world. But there's a lot of intersection points here on equity by design. I just want to make as a recommendation that we keep in the back of our mind. Number two, I tell people here all the time in Austin not to beat up on public health folks. They're doing the best they can. I think it's already been stated by Arian and others that I think we all know that there was a misunderstanding of where infrastructure should be invested in, and this is our opportunity to right the ship. So I think as much as we like to harp on things like fax machine, like I said in the chat and others, it's not by fault. There's no nefarious reason. I think the public health officials and folks are doing the best they absolutely can, and they're a bunch of heroes, in my opinion. So we've got to work together to uncover those opportunity points to make the right investments so this never happens again. Then last but not least, I would also like to thank everybody that's part of this committee that's been on the front lines, particularly working their tail off over the past year and a half. It has been something. And so I think everybody should just breathe for a second and thank, just really appreciate all of you for what you've done. So I just wanted to say those couple of components. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Erin. Let's go to Stephen Lane.
Thank you. Like Erin, I have a few points I'd like to make. One is, as the co-chair of the current USCDI task force, I'm well aware that folks from the CDC and the public health community have provided a number of suggestions for data elements to be added to the USCDI. Most of those did not end up going into the draft version 2, and we're all awaiting the July decisions by ONC about what's going to go into the final version 2. But it's important to realize that the USCDI process really relies on the input of stakeholders. So those of you who haven't had a chance, please look at the recommendations that have been put in through the ONC's OnDeck system and comment and support those elements that you think are important to supporting this work, because that is one tool that I think we can all utilize to make this exchange more robust. I also wanted to comment, like an earlier commenter, about some resources that are available. The Pew Trusts held a series of webinars focusing independently on ELR, ECR, syndromic surveillance, and vaccine data exchange, and developed some draft policy solutions. I know Janet and others were involved in those discussions. I think they were quite robust and informative, and we should look to Pew to review those recommendations in the context of our task force work. As a clinician, I also want to comment and really support the earlier focus on the need for clinical data and integrating relevant data into clinical workflows. There are just tremendous opportunities to improve the bidirectional exchange of data between clinicians on the front line and public health. Some of those, have been supported and even piloted during the pandemic, but clearly need to be brought up to scale and utilized more broadly. One case in particular is the availability of the electronic case reporting reportability response, which can come back from public health to clinicians with specific recommendations regarding how to manage a reportable condition. We're really just at the very beginning of taking full advantage of that data exchange and really feel that we should look to these things that have already been started and piloted and try to scale up the ones that prove beneficial or promising.
And the last point I'd like to make is that we just have a tremendous opportunity to leverage existing and evolving interoperability tools and methods that are out there. The direct exchange methodology that Arian and others were involved in starting up years ago is alive and well and could certainly be used to support in additional ways the exchange of data between public health and other stakeholders. Query-based document exchange is also incredibly well developed and available today for public health to access current data from clinicians and others who maintain that data. And of course, FHIR, you know, the new kid on the block, holds tremendous promise as we build out new solutions. So we should stand on the shoulders of those who've done this work, build a new wheel at this point, but really leverage the tools that we have to advance public health interoperability.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. Let's go to Denise Love.
Hi, some great comments here. I am going non-technical on my comments. I agree with the comments prior. I'm thinking about governance and the need for broader use cases. I'm thinking of linkage is going to be a solution to fill many of the gaps and linkage between traditional and non-traditional data systems, which leads me to the issue of governance and governance to support broader use cases. And during the pandemic, researchers found some of the public health data that was needed not to be timely or it was inaccessible. And so how we can, you know, design data exchange across the entire ecosystem appropriately to broaden also the audience and the stakeholders to public health data.
Thank you. Danielle?
Hi, good morning. I would agree with the majority of comments that I've heard from my colleagues and I would like to express just how thrilled I am about just kind of the way that we're speaking about this. I wanted to go back to one of the comments about equity by design, and I would absolutely echo that and champion that. But when we think about these systems, particularly about the capture of demographic data, I think there is opportunities to really think about what that looks like. From our perspective, one of the challenges is that the way we currently classify data, particularly demographic data, is not particularly useful because of the large bucketing of the way that we currently collect race data across the system. So I would like to emphasize and really encourage us to think about how can we also improve that demographic data as well as other information that's pertinent to really kind of getting the access, the quality, the information to folks, whether that be about language data, other elements about disability data, making sure that we're really strong with geo-access, and then also thinking about other elements that could be integrated, like sexual orientation, gender identity status, just so we can really get the full understanding of the populations that we're serving to better effectively provide those solutions. So I would absolutely love to champion and do champion the equity by design component, but also want us to think a little bit more about how we can retool these capture systems to make sure we're getting a full view and understanding of our populations and the needs of that. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle. Let's go to Stephen Eichner.
Thank you so much. I think we've got a really wonderful set of building blocks that have been developed over the last few years, including things like the USCDI and health information exchanges, and things are coming up like the TEFCA. I think we need to figure out how do we get all these pieces to work best together to meet public health's needs and serve as vehicles to share data between public health and providers while appropriately addressing patients' privacy and data management. So I think that's something that we really want perhaps to focus on, which is how are we collecting information on people's medical conditions and under what authority can we share that data back out to private providers? Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Let's go to Les Leonard.
I think there's a long history of public health receiving funding for infrastructure for informatics and data exchange and for surveillance that responds to crises in the environment, and that this is perhaps the third time that we've seen this in just my brief engagement with public health. The issue here is really how we can make this time different. How do we look at this as a once-in-a-generation opportunity to build from the ground up an equitable public health system that can work in an ecologically sound manner with the clinical care system to care for the population of the United States? Now, these are very high-sounding words, but the point is that unless we think systematically, unless we think from a sort of ground-up perspective and consider the diversity in public health delivery systems as well as in clinical healthcare delivery and now the growing role of clinical population health services and how we put those different components together to optimize health for this country, we're not going to achieve what we hope in these sessions. We've been down the road several times before in response to bioterrorism events in the United States, in response to H1N1, and then now Zika, and then now again in this greatest challenge of all with the COVID-19 pandemic. There may be more resources at hand now than ever has been before, but really what's needed is an approach that starts at the beginning and creates a level playing field for public health departments, large and small, autonomous as they be, along with the healthcare providers in their environment to systematically advance health in this country. And that's a very hard task, but we really should not focus too much on any one given standard or any one given approach as much as creating a design that will grow to what we need this system to be.
Thanks. I see that we are approaching our public comment period, so I will ask John and Nell to make their comments, and then perhaps a very quick follow-up by Jim Gerges. So let's go with John Kansky now.
Yeah, thank you. So I wanted to build a little bit on the comments from Steve Eichner and Stephen Lane earlier, specifically that we need to take advantage of existing capabilities and existing infrastructure, but also to make them work together. I'm sure this is going to come up on future task force calls, but I wanted to make the base comment that health information exchanges are ready in terms of being ready data assets and ready in terms of being ready data plumbing assets. They demonstrated value during the pandemic response in some, but not all states. Why not all states? You know, the obstacles include the readiness of the HIEs in those states, but also some policy barriers. So I think there's an important question that I hope that the task force can address is, given the heterogeneous nature of the 50 states and six territories, the available existing interoperability infrastructure, what is the recommendation to make those things work together? Thank you.
Thanks, John. And Nellie, please.
I'll keep this brief. I think a lot of folks have covered good topics when it comes to breaking down the silos in this ecosystem and allowing for better exchange of data between healthcare organizations and public health to facilitate sort of both sides of the picture and patient care. I think the other thing that we do need to focus on is scalability. One of the main things that we've been seeing is just a inability in some instances to scale to the volumes that are needed for this pandemic when it comes to exchange of data. And I think that's going to be a critical piece of long-term success is to ensure scalability to facilitate that exchange of data between public health and healthcare organizations in the future.
Thanks. And then, Jim, if you have a really quick follow-up, that would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, really quick. My comment is just that we addressed this problem. You know, one of the things we experienced was there was sort of a many-to-many challenge. Many providers having to interact with many public health departments, and the cost of, you know, contracting, testing, interfaces, how to deal with exceptions and rejections was wasteful. And whatever approach we take ought to have a similar goal as TEFCA has, and that is a really easy on-ramp whereby people, whether that's a learned intermediary or some other methodology, to make not only the technologies more aligned, but also the processes more streamlined, instead of many to many, maybe many to one and one to many.
Great, thanks. And that wraps up our discussion for this meeting. I will now pass the mic to Janet to get into the next.
Great, thanks so much, Carolyn, and what a wonderful and robust discussion. I think, you know, we have already heard some themes emerging here, and I think the key that I'll just ask folks to think about is how we not just identify the gaps, but really think through the meaningful recommendations piece. So in terms of next steps, I've heard a couple of things. I have heard some requests for certain materials to be shared. So the prior work from the ONC task force that was convened during the Zika response. And so we will work towards identifying that and being able to circulate it with the members, as well as some recommendations that were put together by Pew. So I have heard those. And if there are other requests for materials that people would like to have circulated from the group, I would just request that you put those into the comments so that we can identify them and share them. And then we also would like, as we promised at the outset, that this was going to be a lot of work and we have an aggressive timeline. So we do have a document that we anticipate and I believe sharing with you all via Google Docs, or I'll ask our ONC colleagues to make sure that we have the right infrastructure in place to share that with everyone. That looks at key questions that we would like to ask in our upcoming meetings, as well as topic areas. And so we'll find a good way to circulate that to allow the group to offer comments. And that will help us as we set the stage for organizing our meeting following the hearing. Carolyn, did you want to add anything in there in terms of next steps?
I think that was a great capture. Certainly, we've had a lot of good discussion today just to get us started in terms of framing more thoroughly the brief topics that Brett went through earlier in the meeting. I would reiterate, we do have a lot on our plate, and while we endeavor to accomplish that through the meetings that are currently scheduled, if we think that it is necessary to extend some of those meetings or add additional ones, we will do that, and we will give you as much notice as possible and be as respectful as we can of your schedules and other requirements. But because this work is intersects with other work being done in the administration and has a direct bearing on how the country approaches COVID and other public health related needs, we will ask you for what we think we need to do the best job that we possibly can, and appreciate your understanding about that.
And so right before we go to public comment, I will just say that you all do, as a group, have homework coming. And we anticipate the document with the questions that we would like to circulate, that will come likely this Friday, and we'll provide additional information for the time frame in which to review and add your thoughts.
And I think before we head into public comment, we will take a moment to have introductions from Arian Malik and Larry Mole, who have since joined us. If you could start, Arian, that would be great.
Thank you. So apologize for starting late. Arian Malik, Change Healthcare, really pleased to be part of this task force and serve the public. Thank you.
Thanks, Arian. And Larry? I think you may be on mute.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
We can. We can.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, everyone, and apologize for the snafus earlier. I'm Larry Mole. I'm currently the Chief Officer of Population Health at Veterans Health Administration. I've been the clinical lead for the COVID-19 preparedness and response planning for the VA department. The groups I oversee, I think, align really well with this work. So it's health equity, our national prevention program, our post-deployment health that leads investigations into military exposures, our public health department, including our public health labs, and our rural health program. And so I'm very excited to be here and hopefully contribute.
Thanks, Larry.
Well, great. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. This is Mike, and I want to open up the lines for public comment.
If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for a brief moment to poll for comments.
Okay, and while we're waiting, I just want to thank everybody again for joining us today. Our usual meeting cadence will be weekly on Thursdays from 10:30 to noon Eastern time. However, especially the high-tech members know, we have our high-tech meeting next week on Thursday. So our task force will reconvene on Friday the 14th at noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. So hopefully all of you have this calendar invite. So with that, I'll pause and ask the operator if we have any comments.
There are no comments at this time.
Great. Thank you. Carolyn, Janet?
Okay. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for your willingness to serve on this task force and for your really invested and very strong participation this morning. We have a great deal to do, and I can see we have a lot of good expert commentary and thought that will be going into that work, as well as a great deal of interest in participating and doing the work. Thank you, and looking forward to going forward with the hearing next week and our meetings after that.
This is Janet. I will add my thanks, number one. Number two, please be on the lookout for your homework. I think we have already heard some themes emerging today, certainly the theme of equity by design being important, the appropriate use of resources, and that public health has been largely under-resourced or funded in a way that is post-disaster and does not allow sustainment of the critical work that needs to happen. Issues around completeness and timeliness of data, scalability, as well as use of standards for sharing both structured and how we could also take advantage and utilize unstructured data. So again, thank you all so much. We look forward to a lot of work and a lot of good work, and we will talk again. And that, if I can just ask the ONC folks to remind everyone, since we do have a little adjustment in our schedule, of that alternative schedule and adjustment.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We stand adjourned. We'll see you next week.